الله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس قد جاءتكم موعظة من ربكم وشفاء لما في الصدور وهدى ورحمة للمؤمنين، قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت، استغفرك وأتوب إليك. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you and I iman. This iman that we have is something which we have in this lifetime, and we could possibly try to grasp the value of it, but only when our eyes will shut will we truly recognize the bounty. Allah says in Surah Mu'minun, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ, that when death comes to one of them, a disbeliever, when death approaches, they'll say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ, O my Lord, return me to the world. His request will be at the time to return to the world. Why? لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ, so I can do good in the world that I left. Meaning I've left this world. Oh Allah, give me the opportunity to return back to this world. Why does he want to return? Just to do لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا, so I can do good. In the commentary of this, it's mentioned that this عَمَلُ صَالِح is actually just to say the kalima. This person died without the kalima, so his pure and sole request will be, O my Lord, return me to the world, so I can just go and profess the kalima once. This is wajib upon you and I, that we are grateful for the fact that we've got iman in our lifetime, that this individual who says to Allah, that give me the opportunity to return, so I can accept the kalima. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا, this will never happen, these are words he's merely saying. That in another verse is mentioned, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْ, if these people, they're not going to be, but if they were hypothetically returned to the world, they would still return to their old habits of disobedience, of disbelief. That is after them witnessing the reality. But Allah has granted you and I, in our lifetime, that we recognize Him. And our recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-evident. Dr. Oliver Petrovich is an academic in Oxford. She's got multiple papers, and she mentions in there that a child is born, in her studies, social studies, a child is born naturally ascribing or having a belief towards a higher power. Multiple papers she has, and she said naturally a child is born, it's the most simple explanation for a child that they just believe in a higher power. Obviously, she didn't mention God, but she believes in a higher power, but for us, that aligns with the concept of fitrah. Not to say we're subjecting our beliefs to her findings, but it supports, it's a corroboration. Now, Allah has granted us, just think, that we have iman, but we're able to accept something which is so plain and simple. The world and how it is began, what caused it to begin? Everything that we know that comes into reality has a cause. And this world has come into reality, what caused it? Allah has granted us the ability to understand that it requires a creator. It requires the belief in Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the point actually, there's one statement, Imam Abu Hanifa, one opinion actually to Imam Abu Hanifa. If there are people, لَمْ تَبْلُغْهُ الرِّسَالَةِ, that the message does not reach. So there are individuals, it's possible today too, there are individuals that the message of Islam does not reach them. If the message of Islam does not reach them, then what do they need to do? So according to one, there are multiple different opinions, it's not clear cut. But one opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa was that these individuals need to accept iman, they need to believe in a creator, because that's a natural conclusion a person can have. That's a natural conclusion. However, they won't be responsible for following the law. The Sharia, they won't be responsible for, because the message has not reached them. However, they will need to believe in a creator, because that's self-evident. That is self-evident, so they will need to believe in a creator. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets throughout history. Allah sent the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, the prophets. Now, what's their purpose? It's to re-guide, to reconnect mankind to the Creator. Tawheed. أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوا. Worship Allah. It was Tawheed. And to obey them, meaning the law that they came with. But number one, Tawheed. So they were there. Okay. They're in the universe, there are things that can harm us, they can give us benefit. We need guidance to know what can harm, what can benefit. And the Prophet ﷺ would guide towards that. And as these prophets came, they would provide arguments. They're not going to say to people blind belief. They'll present arguments to say, why are you worshipping these idols? Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he did that, he showed them through the idols, why are you worshipping that does not benefit? They could not defend themselves when I destroyed the idols. Why do you worship them? So they're using arguments. But alongside that, Allah gave them miracles too. The prophets gave, he gave them miracles. It strengthens their claim of prophethood. And each, like for example, Isa alayhi salam, at his time, they were quite relevant to their times. So in Isa alayhi salam's time, medicine was on the rise. So as he was curing the people from leprosy, other diseases, giving a form of a bird, giving it life through the permission of Allah, these miracles that are there, people, it's relating to the people because that's the miracle of that's what they're interested at that time. Musa alayhi salam, magic was the focus of their time, the sahirin, the magicians. Now, the people witnessed the transformation of the staff to the scorpion. They witnessed these things. The partition of the sea, they witnessed all these things. But the problem with, or the limitation of all these miracles, not problem, sorry, the limitation of all these miracles is that they are time bound. That only the people that were there to witness it actually witnessed the miracle. Everyone else is relying on testimony. Somebody else witnessed it and you're following their testimony. However, this ummah, Rasulullah had miracles. The splitting of the moon, the messages of the unseen. Rasulullah had miracles. But alongside that, the greatest bounty we have is we have a timeless miracle, which is our Qur'an. This ummah is the ummah till qiyamah. There's going to be no other nation, there's going to be no other prophet to come. And all the other prophets, their miracles that came, they were time bound. They were restricted to their time. The miracle that we have is the Qur'an. Its language, its composition, the phenomena, the discussions that it has within there. That's something which can be tested to throughout every century and every era till qiyamah. It's the timeless miracle. And you need to think, there are many, many things. You could talk about, for example, the balagh, the rhythm. The Qur'an is not poetry, but the rhythm it has in there. وَالشُّعَرَاءُ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمُونَ وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. Naturally, without compromising on meaning, the flow it has within the Qur'an. The meanings in the Qur'an, Allah says, if it was revealed from anybody other than Allah, there would be contradictions within. This Qur'an and the message and the intricacies it has within there, it's beyond human capacity. No human can create this. It's a timeless miracle. Just imagine, for 14 centuries, and this Qur'an is unchanged and is protected. Which divine book? What manuscripts do you have of other books where literature is often lost, changed? The Qur'an may have different forms. Again, they can have slight variations, meaning in recitations, across the different modes of recitation, yes, slight variations. But the meaning does not change. The meaning does not change across. But just think that Allah has mentioned we reveal the Qur'an, we are its protectors. That 14 centuries later, the Qur'an is still being recited the same. Imagine, I'll give you an example. In the one narration of Bukhari, a young boy lives away from Medina. He accepts Islam, but he cannot go to Medina to go and seek knowledge. So for him to go and learn these verses, he intercepts caravans and he asks them, are there any new verses that have been revealed? This narration is in Bukhari. Are there any new verses that have been revealed? He would slowly memorize parts of the Qur'an until he had memorized a decent portion of the Qur'an. A young boy, away from Medina, would intercept caravans to ask them about verses so he could memorize them. Allah has mentioned he's going to protect this Qur'an. And across centuries, Huffaz were there to protect this Qur'an. If the Masahif, if the Qur'ans were burnt today, they could not remove it from our hearts. It will still remain protected. It will still remain unchanged. That this young boy, who is away from Medina, nobody knows of him, he is still being used to protect the Qur'an away, he's memorized portions of the Qur'an. It's not written. He's intercepting caravans and he's learning it from them. This is what I'm talking about, is the entire system, the entire thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed over here, just for the Qur'an to remain unchanged and protected. He's mentioned it's going to be protected. This Qur'an that we have, yes, it's a great miracle. There are great bounties in there. However, it comes with rights. There are three rights of the Qur'an I'm going to highlight. Number one, that we recite it in the manner it was revealed to Rasulullah ﷺ. Meaning, whilst observing his etiquettes, it's tajweed, etc., we recite it as it ought to be recited. Now that takes effort. Many of us have learnt in the incorrect way. Now it takes time to unlearn and relearn. It takes an effort. But it's the right of the Qur'an that it's recited properly with its adab, with its etiquette, which is its tajweed. Reciting the Qur'an with its rights. We've got to remember the Qur'an is a very, very, the Arabic language is a very delicate language. Something as simple as kalb and qalb, reciting kaf and aqaf, different can change the meaning from dog to heart. Something as simple as that. So number one, reciting the Qur'an as it was revealed, meaning recite the Qur'an with tajweed. Number two, understanding the Qur'an. The Qur'an is an advice. It's a cure for the hearts. It's a guidance and it's a mercy for the believers. Understand the Qur'an, its meanings, and understanding the Qur'an. That comes with the whole law. When we have our law, the meaning, the fiqh that we have, that's an understanding of the Qur'an. That's the whole understanding made for us. The job of the jurists was to, from the Qur'an and Sunnah, to take from there and provide the law. So as we're practicing the deen, we're performing our salah, we are practicing upon the Qur'an. Number one, to recite the Qur'an as it ought to be recited, meaning with tajweed. Number two, to understand its meanings. And number three, to practice upon its teachings. These are the three rites of the Qur'an. This Qur'an that we have is a timeless miracle. No ummah had a miracle just like the Qur'an. This is our miracle. And it comes with rites which we need to fulfill. Imagine that this is a miracle. This is a type of thing that you could recite. And for every letter that we recite, we still get 10 rewards. In fact, it's mentioned that the best form of dhikr is the recitation of the Qur'an. And even to the point, just by learning it, it has great rewards in there. They will be telling the person on the Day of Judgment, the one who recited the Qur'an, the sahib al-Qur'an, the one who had the Qur'an, who had memorized it too, that iqra' wartaqi waratil kama turatilu fi dunya, read and ascend the stages in Jannah just as you read in the world. Read and ascend the stages in Jannah just as you recite in the world, sahib al-Qur'an. Again, this means a person who practices and knows parts of the Qur'an. A person doesn't need to memorize the entire Qur'an, but needs to memorize a part of it, at least enough that the person can perform his salah, etc. Enough that a person can do that. And finally, as I mentioned, that the Qur'an is something that's supposed to be practiced. It's our lived miracle. It's our lived miracle. It's mentioned that, for one statement of Ibn Ablaymah, radiallahu anhu, إِنَّا صَعُبَ عَلَيْنَا حِفْظُ أَلْفَاظُ الْقُرْآنِ, that it was difficult for us to memorize the words of the Qur'an. They didn't have it on paper. It was difficult for them to memorize. Not only that, they would focus a lot on the meanings. So it was difficult for them to memorize the Qur'an. وَسَهُلَ عَلَيْنَا الْعَمَلُ بِهِ, but it was easy for us to act upon the Qur'an. And he said, وَإِنَّ مِنْ بَعْدِنَا يَسْهُلُ عَلَيْهِمْ حِفْظُ الْقُرْآنِ, after there is a time will come where memorizing will be easy, however, practicing it will be hard. Practicing will be hard. And we can look at how much easier it is to memorize the Qur'an, but how difficult it is to find those of the sahib al-Qur'an, those living by that Qur'an. And just one final point. You know, there's one, Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash, rahimahullah. He was a great muhaddith, teacher Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Dawood, Hanad, etc. Great muhaddith. Despite that, when he passed away, his sister was crying. And one scholar said to his sister, do not cry. For I have seen your brother, فَأَشَارَ إِلَى زَاوِيَةٍ فِي الْبَيْتِ, he indicated towards a corner in the house and said, I know that your brother recited 18,000 khatams in that one corner alone. 18,000 khatams alone in that one corner. This is not somebody who wasn't preoccupied. He was preoccupied with the propagation and the protection of ahadith, the teacher of Imam Ahmad, teacher of Imam Abu Dawood, of Hannad. So you're talking somebody who's dedicated his life to hadith, but in one corner alone, he had managed to read. I'm not saying that, you know, everyone, this is sit down in one corner and do that. That's not the point. It's just trying to show that if these people can be this preoccupied with ahadith and literature for the deen, yet they can take out time for the Qur'an, you and I can do the same. Whether that's half a juz, whether that's quarter of a juz, however much it is, we can take out time. May Allah grant us all true understanding and tawfiq.